so you can only hear me at this point, which is great, so we don't have to hear the dishwashing and all the dogs barking and everything else. All right, let's jump in and talk about our training today. I'm continuing along on the book of Living with Passion, because it's such a great book, and it's something we all need. And every day, because I'm into this book now and I've been working with you on it, it just seems I hear a lot of things out in the world and people statements that people make, and it all seems to get back to that core principle about passion, finding your passion and living that passion. And that's what is the core of what keeps us going and sustains us and just kind of, allows us to live that life of joy and abundance and everything else. So it's about finding that passion in your life and living with passion every day, sustaining us and keeping us out of the negative side of the world and into a positive realm. So Living with Passion is so crucial. And this book by Peter Hirsch has really given us a lot of, simple ideas on how to achieve that, how to ward off the things that really quash our passion and quash our ability to discover the passion that we have within. So chapter 4, we've been through the first three chapters. Chapter 4 talks about conquering fear. And of course, fear is a whole nutshell. I could probably speak for 10 hours just on the word fear alone. But in getting into the chapter, the first quote that they had in the book was, "Nothing in life is to be feared. Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood." And that was drafted by Marie Curie. And she talks about, or in the book, Peter Hirsch talks about the key to conquering fear lies in mastering belief. And we've already spent a session on belief and talking about our belief system. Belief is the key to success. We have to believe in ourselves. And this is really the most important belief of all, is really believing in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, you're going to have a very hard time believing in other people or believing in other things, because at the core of your basic beingness is, do you believe in yourself? And it's important for us to achieve that belief in ourselves and understand that we are enough and we're good enough and we have enough and we are grateful and we have wonderful abundance in our life. We need to have that belief system working about ourselves. And that's important to work on that. That's probably one of the number one beliefs that aren't widely felt, is that we always are picking on ourselves for some reason, some beingness, something about us, and you need to believe in yourself. I work with people all the time and have them draft affirmations around things that are holding them back. Last week I had a great call with someone in my organization about being enough. She grew up in a family where the parents were always pushing them and pushing them and pushing the kids. And that typically happens a lot, especially when in a German background. I come from a very strong German background, and I know what that's like. I had three brothers and sisters. I was a baby, and they are all straight-A students. So guess what? Mary Jo was pushed and pushed and pushed. And that might have helped me become a straight-A student, because maybe I wouldn't have done it otherwise. I don't know. I had no problem going on in Phi Beta Kappa and all the other stuff that I achieved. But the concept was, it was almost like when you got a B on a report card at any one time, you were treated like you should be banned from the house, And those kind of upbringings can cause you to have in your mind, you're never enough. And if you have that, it just holds you back. It's a belief system that you're never enough. And then you, of course, it's generational bondage, because you start treating your kids the same way, because it's the only way you know. The only way you know to raise children is how you were raised. And you tend to bring and cast all those same generational bondages to your own kids. So it's time to break that program in our lives and start believing in ourselves and releasing. And affirmations around that are what help you in believing yourself. So critical that we develop that belief in ourselves so that we can move forward and we can make things happen. And affirmations are so powerful around that. I am enough. And working with you in terms of Manatech, some people think, how do I believe in myself about being presidential? Because I work with people around that. Executive directors who've been executive directors for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And I go, and they go, I want to be presidential. I said, no, I need to be. No, you don't need to be. You don't want to be. The concept is you are. So start using language, I am presidential director, and watch the difference in your life, because language is so powerful in supporting a belief system. So it's, you need to believe in yourself, you need to believe in your opportunity and your products and your company. And a lot of you have been in my pathway class, so I attached on the outline today a form called the self-scoring belief scale. I use this all the time. I love to use it. I use it with new business builders in my organization, because if you have a person that you're working with, including yourself, okay, because we're always working on ourselves, but including other people in your organization, leaders, and you're saying, Mary Jo, I just have this problem person. I can't get them, you know, I can't seem to be able to get them motivated or moving in the right direction, and you don't know how to put the finger on what the problem is. You use this belief scale. Have them fill it out, and you fill it out yourself. It'll highlight to you where your beliefs are falling apart. Where are my beliefs not as strong as they need to be, so that you can focus your energy and focus your language and focus your readings and your listening tapes and focus on growing yourself in the areas you need some growth. So take that belief scale, self-scoring belief scale, and of course, if you're not honest in filling it out, it's not going to serve you at all. So you need to be perfectly honest when you fill that out and come to conclusions about where you need, where you have the greatest needs. So anyway, so belief is key to your success. It's key. Mastering belief is key to overcoming fear. If you don't master belief, you're going to have a hard time overcoming fear, because fear is what seeps in when there's a lack of belief. That's when fear starts walking in. All right, so let's look at the second point that comes out of Peter's book, which he talks about everything in life is sales, okay? And we'll see how this ties into fear. And see, everything in life is sales. The key to successful selling is belief. It goes back to belief again. Every interaction you have is sales. Every time you talk to somebody, there's always some kind of sales going on, because we're ultimate networkers. Whether we talk about a movie we liked, we're starting to sell the person on that movie. Whether we talk about, you know, a program out there, a movie, or whatever it might be, we tend to be selling every single time we talk to people. So every interaction, every occupation has sales, because you're always selling yourself to a boss. If you have a boss in this world, and of course a lot of us don't have one because we work for ourselves, but then we have to sell ourselves to ourselves too, and that's part of that believing in yourself. So we're even still a selling then. But every occupation has sales involved in it. Every career has sales involved in it. So we have to recognize that sales is just something, it's an absolute part of our life, every day of our life. You couldn't have gotten married any time in your life without selling, because you had to sell yourself to somebody else, you know. And you sell yourself to your kids every day, because you're trying to influence their lives and their decisions that they make, and that's all by selling. You can't just tell them, don't do this, because they're not going to understand why. So you have, when describing the whys, you're getting into selling. You're selling a point to them. You're making a point, and through that is selling. And the cute thing in his book that I thought was really insightful, because a lot of you, when you're out there working with people and they say, well, you know, I'll take the products, but I'm not interested in doing the business because I just can't sell. And I know all of you have heard it, because I've heard it from people. And his response, which I think is delightful, is to ask a person, when somebody says, I can't sell, I just can't sell, so this isn't for me, it's not a business, I can't sell, ask them, would you explain that to me? Don't start arguing with them about everything is sales in the world, because you know that telling somebody doesn't work. But when you ask them to start explaining it, let them come to their own conclusion. When you ask somebody to explain to you why they can't sell, they're going to spend the next 5 minutes selling you on the reason they can't sell. And that's the key. I think it's just an incredible statement, because that's really what happens. The minute you say, well, explain to me what you mean by you can't sell. Oh, Mary Jo, I just don't have a personality. I don't like people. I don't like going out. I don't like trying to promote something. I don't like, you know, you go on and on and on. And then they're done. You can look at them and say, do you know what you just did over the last 5 minutes? And they'll look at you with this dumbfounded expression. And you'll say, you just spent 5 minutes trying to convince me of why you can't sell, which was, in effect, trying to sell me on the fact that you can't sell. Do you get that? It kind of twists it a little bit. I think it's a great technique. Maybe try it. It might help you. And they can see themselves. And then if they can start laughing at it, that's what makes it important. Because experiential results are much more powerful than you lecturing to them of why they can be a salesperson. That typically doesn't work. People need to experience it. And this is giving them an opportunity to experience what they're telling you they can't do. And then you can come back. So a great point. And when we look at that, really what they're really saying when somebody says to you, I can't sell, it isn't that they're incapable of selling, is it? It's their belief system. They don't believe that they can do it. So now it's up to us to help support them in formulating that belief. And that can be what if I worked with you and showed you how this worked, and we could work together to achieve some results. Would you be open to the possibility that I could step into your life to help support you and see if we can make this happen for you? And you know, you can always change your mind 3 months from now, but if you're not open to it as a possibility, then I can't even help show you how this really is something about education, and you truly can educate people because you care about people. And they'll go, well, maybe. So you're converting the language. Don't use the word. Sometimes if we just stay away from the word sales, that helps people. I love to look at our business as education, because truly what I do is I educate. I truly educate people about how to take back control of their health. That's what we do. And when I can educate somebody on how to take back control of their health, they can see the validity of it and thus want to spawn out and teach other people. So it's a teaching experience. So anyway, so you can do that and support people, but, you know, it's really a belief system. It's not that they can't sell, it's their belief system. It's something that's stopping them in their own belief system. And that's what we need to look at and make sure we're overcoming a negative belief or a negative fear. And it is a fear, because all your negative beliefs, any negative belief you have, and you can look in your life today, maybe do an analysis, write down on a sheet of paper, what negative beliefs do I have about myself? I'm going to tell you, each one of them is founded and grounded in a fear. All your negative beliefs are grounded in fear. So isolate that, and you can start seeing what you need to work on that are fears in your life that are triggering that. So you see where fears enter in too. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people say, if they tell you, I can't sell, a lot of those people are caught up in the fear, and I'm going to give you what the fear is for a lot of those people. I can't sell. They have a fear of rejection, and they have to be liked. So they live this life of I can't sell because I don't want to step out of my comfort zone because maybe somebody will reject me. So I can't sell. So there is the fear that's underlying their belief system, the negative belief that they have that they can't sell, when in effect they really are great educators and they really can go and share. And they just have to understand that the other person's health and knowledge on glycobiology is more important and overcomes and overrides any kind of fear they might have. Because if they keep thriving in the fear of rejection or that fear of not being good enough, then their focus, and here goes the big one, their focus is always about themselves when their focus needs to be about other people. And that switch from focus on other people, getting rid of the focus on you, will allow you to open the door and help convert a lot of these people into being major networkers, major educators, major, you know, manatechers out there, because they'll release that and say, wait a minute, where's the focus? Why am I getting this fear? Because I'm focusing on the wrong person. Get my focus off of me and get the focus on the person I'm communicating with, because they're all that matters in this situation, not me. Okay, so everything is sales. So let's talk about fear. Let's get into a general statement, just what our fear is all about. And we just kind of jumped in and talked about the fear of, you know, rejection. But I'm going to dig into and go a little bit astray here for a moment. It's not in Peter's book, but I've done some trainings out of another famous book, and Jet will tell you that this is the most famous of all books. For those of you who know Jet's story, and for those of you who don't know who Jet is, he's our number one associate in Manatech. But his claim to fame is when he was like 13, 14 years old, he read Think and Grow Rich, and he read it like, I don't know, 20 times, 40. The story differs depending on who you hear it from. But he read it numerous times, Think and Grow Rich. So I'm going to talk about Napoleon Hill for a second, because he has a whole chapter that he deals with fear. And when he talks about fear, he talks about fears are nothing more than states of mind. One state of mind is subject to control and direction. Our state of mind is subject to control and direction, because every human being has the ability to completely control their mind. Now, some of you sit there and go, oh, not possible, Mary Jo, because I have these little thoughts and these little voices that talk to me. And I'm going to tell you, all you got to do is reprogram them. We all have little voices that talk to us, but you need to work on reprogramming them. Somehow they might have been misprogrammed in your youth. They might have been misprogrammed by activities that have occurred in your life. But whatever it is, you can reprogram those little voices in your head. And it's just a matter of discipline and experiences that you go through, experiential training, that you can rid yourself of that negativity, whatever might be coming through. So acknowledging that we have control to choose our own thoughts, now all of a sudden we can see that we can rid our thoughts and rid our mind of the fears that might be overcoming us. All right? Fear is nothing. Here's another statement that you might have heard about fear. Fear is nothing more than false expectations appearing real. That's what it stands for. It's an acronym for false expectations appearing real. So the falsity of it is what we have to keep in mind, the falsity of it. Many people are driven by fear. Their fears may be a result of a traumatic experience, unrealistic expectations, growing up in a high-control home, sound like my German household, or even genetic predisposition. Regardless of the cause, fear-driven people often miss great opportunities because they are afraid to venture out. So they end up playing their life what? They play life safe. They avoid risks. They maintain status quo. And really, fear is kind of a self-imposed prison. It's going to keep you from becoming what God intends you to become. And it really holds you back. It's a self. If you look at fear as a self-imposed prison, why are we letting that control us today? It's you know, even one more day is too long to let fear control us. So we must move against it, and some of the weapons we have, of course, are love. And for some of you who are biblical scholars or even just, you know, in the Christian realm, you know the Bible tells us that love banishes all fear. You can't have perfect love and have fear coexist. You know, that's a clear biblical principle. And Rick Warren in Purpose Driven Life, he talks about well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, whatever that fear is one not yet fully formed in love. And that's by Rick Warren. That came from Purpose Driven Life. So there's just a tremendous amount of background to understand that fear is not something we should be carrying with us. Okay? Now, looking at fears, we actually do have some. Is there such a thing as good fears and bad fears? Yeah, they're empowering fears, and then they're disempowering fears. And I'm going to tell you that, you know, 99.9% are the disempowering fears. But a fear, a good fear, a healthy fear would be like if a bear in the woods starts running at you, are you going to experience fear? Of course. And that's a good fear because it's going to what? It's going to trigger adrenaline flow and cause you to react and think, be creative, and all, your body's going to just come to a high, one of its highest levels in responsiveness. So therein lies what I would consider a healthy fear. Another fear you might have that's a healthy fear would be, let's say you're very concerned, and I don't know if it's a fear as much as a concern, but let's say you're very, you know, fearful that we're going to lose all of our natural resources in this world. So you live with a little concern. I rather use the word concern than fear, although this Peter Hirsch calls it a fear, but a concern about our environment. So a fear or a concern in that area is going to cause you to make better, you know, more intelligent decisions. You're going to recycle. You're going to buy things that are less non-recyclable, and you know, you're going to make better. You're going to join some green clubs or whatever you might do to try to promote protection of, you know, what God's given us here as Earth. I mean, we're going to take a more proactive approach in life, and that's healthy. But other than those, you know, the rest of our fears, for the most part, are tremendously disempowering. And those are, and those are the ones we want to grapple with. Those are the ones that we want to deal with, we want to look at, seriously examine, become aware of, because you can't change. Your first step to any change in your life is, of course, awareness. So let's become aware of what those fears are, and then we can start incorporating mechanisms to change. The most common fear that all of us live with is a fear of the unknown. And that's a fear that keeps us stuck. It's safety first. We don't want to take any action without knowing the consequences. So we can't, it's a fear. Let me give you an example in Manitech. It's the concept of somebody, you know, the Alaska cruise is announced in January. And people go, well, I can't commit to winning the trip because I don't know how I'm going to win it. That's a fear of the unknown. That's a fear of the unknown. People who live their life on a successful track, who break down barriers, who are creative in their they use their initiative and the ingenuity. The mechanisms don't have to be there for them to make a commitment because they don't have a fear of the unknown. They're fearless. They can say, you know, that trip comes along and they go, I am going to be on that boat. They don't have any clue how it's going to happen, but they can commit to being on that boat. And so you can see how the fear of the unknown holds people back. It quashes your creativity. The minute you commit to something and you set your intent to accomplish something and get it done, I'm going to tell you your creative juices start flowing and mechanisms appear all over the place. So, but people get stuck in that unknown. They want to stay in their habitat. They want to stay in their comfort zone. For some of you, you may have been familiar with the 9-dot exercise, where you take a sheet of paper and you put 9 dots on the piece of paper. And if you've done that, and the whole concept of that, you put 3 dots in a row and you make 3 rows of 3 dots with them equal distance apart. So they form a box. And each corner of the box has a dot, and then you have 3 dots going through the middle. So you have a total of 9 dots on a sheet of paper. And the exercise goes like this. Your job is to connect all the dots with 4 lines without ever lifting your pen from the paper. So you have to start at one quarter, and you have to figure out how I can connect all the dots with 4 lines without ever raising my pen off the paper. And it's a great exercise, and I'm not going to tell you the result of it, but it's a great exercise. If some of you haven't done it, then that's your job until next Monday, and you can come back and tell me what you accomplished by next Monday and the experience you had around it. But it's a great exercise, and it's a great exercise for exactly what I'm talking about here, which is how to get out of the fear of the unknown, how to get ourselves out of comfort zone levels. The other story that that Peter Hirsch brings up in the book, which I'll share with you. Sorry for the static, people. I don't know where it's coming from. He talks about a story in the book. He talks about a man that was convicted of treason and sentenced to death by a firing squad. And he goes in front of this firing squad, and one of the executioners tells him, the commanding general tells him, "Sir, you have a choice. You can accept your fate and die before this firing squad, or you can go through that black door over there." And he points in a direction where there's this big black door. And he gave the man a couple hours to make his decision. Well, 2 hours later, the man came back, and he said, "I have no idea what might face me behind that black door. It could be a most terrible fate. No, I choose the firing squad." And, of course, they shot and killed him in the firing squad. And one of the people that were an aide to the general said, So General, what was behind that door?" And the general, without expression, replied, "Freedom." Now, I think that's an impactful story, because it tells us about how does that apply to my life? What am I doing in my life that's keeping me stuck? It's not killing you, perhaps, like this gentleman on a firing squad, but you get the point that we make decisions day in and day out because they're known, instead of stepping out and saying, "You know what? I don't care what's beyond that black door. I can always have the known, but if I don't start venturing out into the unknown, I'm never going to get the results that I want in my life." Because that same famous definition of insanity, if you keep doing what you've always been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've always been getting. So in order to get something different, don't we have to do something different? And that's exactly what this is about. It's about stepping out into the unknown, because you can't get to second base unless you step off of first base. But some of you are so planted on first base, you don't want to take your foot off of first base, because the minute you do that, you're running what? A risk. You could be thrown out by the pitcher. So you want to stay on first base, and you're going to hold on to that bag like it's your life. And that bag, that first base, could be the most miserable place on the face of the earth. But you know what it is? It's a known to you, and that's what's holding you back, the fear of the unknown. So you need to start looking at that story of the execution, and you got to start saying, how am I executing myself every day? How am I executing my success? How am I destroying my future? How am I not accomplishing what I want in life? Because I'm so stuck on the known versus unknown. So really work on that. And if you look at facing the unknown, what kind of characteristics are most important when you face the unknown? When we venture out and we decide to face the unknown, there are 2 things. Number one, we need to have discipline in our lives, and we also need to have belief in ourselves. That's what allows us to face the unknown. And some people go, "Oh, my undisciplined, forget it. I don't have self-discipline. I don't have," because, you know, and that's about punishment, or it's about, you know, that's our connotation of the word discipline is around punishment. And I want to change that meaning in your head. That's why people fight. You know, a lot of people fight discipline in their life because, number one, it's around punishment, because that's what they grew up as a child to understand it to mean. The other reason why people fight discipline, this is so intriguing to me, is because they find discipline is structure, and structure means I'm forfeiting my freedom, and I'm not willing to forfeit my freedom. And the intriguing part of all that, this came out in a competing commitment exercise in one of my pathway classes, the intriguing result of all that is that, do you realize that with adding discipline to your life, you're going to create so much success that you will have the ultimate freedom. When you're looking at it as the thing that's denying you freedom, it might be denying a little bit of freedom today, but it's creating awesome freedom down the road. So why aren't we embracing discipline? But the real issue around discipline is, where does it come from? What's the word disciplines come from? The core word in discipline is disciple, which really means follower or learner. It's about being a follower or a learner. It's about learning from other people and growing. And so self-discipline is really learning and following our own beliefs. That's what self-discipline is. It's learning about our own beliefs and following those. It's about becoming true to ourselves. That is what discipline is. Living your values, your core values, every day and every moment of your life. That is truly self-discipline. So when we do that, we can move forward through anything, because now it's not about unknown or known. It's all about, I just follow my core values in everything I do. And then, so that's your discipline. And then belief in ourselves. Of course, if you follow your core values, you're going to totally believe in yourself every day of your life, because you're always being true to yourself. And those are the things that are going to help you overcome that fear of the unknown. So, and being able to step out and stretch yourself. Another major fear out there is fear of failure. It's real high on the list. A lot of people fear failure. And I'm going to just suggest to you, you've heard it 100 times, but maybe you need it one more time. And maybe today's the day that you can grasp this concept. But failure is absolutely the pathway to success. So you want to fall in love with mistakes, because every mistake is a learning experience. That doesn't mean you intentionally go out and make mistakes. It just means that when a mistake is made, number one, it's okay. Get out of the chastisement, the hammers that come out, beating up on yourself. Mistakes are A-okay. Every mistake is a tremendous experience, because it's an experience of opportunity to learn. And that's what they present us with, opportunities to learn. We didn't intentionally make the mistake. We made a mistake. We were thinking a certain way. We took some action, and it turned out not to work. So guess what? Now we know more information. We're learning more. Take every event in your life as a learning experience. And I'll give you just a description. It's really cute. In his book, he gave a description of a person in history. He was fired from his job in 32. He was defeated for legislature in 32. He declared bankruptcy in 33. He elected to legislator in 34. His sweetheart died in 1935. He had a nervous breakdown in 1936. He was defeated for speaker in 1938. He was defeated in nomination for Congress in 1943. He was elected to Congress in 1946. He lost his bid for renomination in 1948. He was rejected for land officer in 1949. He was defeated for Senate in 1954, these are all 1800s, sorry, giving you the wrong century, 1854. He was defeated for nomination for vice president in 1856. He was defeated for Senate a second time in 1858. And who was this person? Defeat, sweetheart died, declared bankruptcy, lost bid, defeated. I just gave you the history from 1832 to 1858. Of one person named Abraham Lincoln. Now, you don't think that failure isn't the core of success? Did that hold back Abraham Lincoln? Absolutely not. And some of you are also familiar with the famous story about Thomas Edison. One of his, you know, aides or helpers one time looked at him, and he said, this is before he discovered the light bulb. He looked at him and said, do you realize that you have tried this 100 different ways? You just are never going to accomplish this. I mean, every single one has failed. And Thomas Edison said, I didn't fail 100 times. I just found 100 ways not to make a light bulb. It's just a way you look at it. He found 100 ways. His 100 failures were 100 pathways to discovery. His famous quote is, to double your success rate, you need to first double your failures. Isn't that incredible? Double your success rate, you need to first double your failures. So success wording is what serves you. If you get all this stuff, you get the story of Abe Lincoln, you get the idea of failures, and you get, how do I convert failures into successes? It's all it is verbiage. It's how you talk about what didn't work for you. Some of you wallow in failures and, I can't do it, I can't make it. I hear that all the time. And you, as leaders of your organization, you're going to hear a downline who say, you know what, this just doesn't work, or I can't do it, and all this negative stuff. Because is network marketing easy? Absolutely not. It's not intellectually challenging, but it sure as heck isn't easy, because it takes a lot of patience and a lot of perseverance. And those are two P words that a lot of people don't have. but all of you have it. You're still on my Monday calls, and you're listening, and you're stepping into it. Because I really, truly believe that famous quote is absolutely right. The only people that don't make it in network marketing are those who quit. So you got to have patience and perseverance. And you've got to get negative talk out of your mind. You got to get rid of the I can'ts, it doesn't work, I failed, this didn't work for me, You got to start saying, you know what, wow, Mary Jo, I went out and I called 20 chiropractors and they all shut me down. And I said, what a wonderful learning experience. I found out from this guy that this is what I needed to do. I found out from this one, this is, and I found out from here that this, he says, now I have a whole new approach and I know this is going to work for me. Do you think that's the kind of phone call I get? Or do I get a phone call from people going, Mary Jo, I read your chiropractic book and I called 20 chiropractors and they all shut me down and, you know, it obviously it doesn't work. Yeah. You have to develop, you have to stretch yourself and step out to find out what works, what doesn't work. And every single experience is an educational experience. You read books and you get mentoring from people who have a tremendous experience who have made it work to help you cut down on how many mistakes you might make. But don't ever walk a step in life thinking you're not going to make a mistake. Even the most successful presidentials out there trip and fall and make mistakes from time to time. And it doesn't matter. For us, we thrive on it. When I make a mistake, I go, I shared with some of you guys, I put ads in newspapers, spent about $750, put ads in newspapers, 24 little, you know, regional newspapers, local little town newspapers, the Dallas Morning News, all this stuff, to do a presentation around the next millionaires, Paul Zane Pilzer's new book. And we walked into that seminar, I had 28 people there, 27 associates and one prospect. Now that you could look at it and say, what a total failure. Are you kidding me? I looked at it as what an incredible experience. And what did I learn from it? I learned from it that the worst thing you can do in marketing to people is talk about them being a millionaire when people can't possibly believe in their hearts that they're going to be millionaires. I mean, if they're trying to make ends meet and they're barely strapping, when they read a news article about becoming a millionaire, they're not going to flush out and come to hear that because they don't have the basic underlying belief in their head that they're ever going to get there. You get it? They're already stuck in fear. They're one of the people I'm talking about already on this call. So you got to overcome that belief system before you start feeding it. And I was going backwards. I was trying to feed into a positive belief system before it even existed. So to me, it was an incredible experience of learning. I got it. So the next time I market is going to be much more effective because I learned a huge lesson. So every single time, we want to make sure that every single mistake or failure, quit, just don't even use that language. It doesn't work. It's not language. To me, it was just a learning experience. What did we learn and what are we going to do taking it forward? And that's what it's about. So one of the ways, I gave you an exercise that Peter Hirsch used in his book, Every Night Before Bed, List 10 Successes of the Day. And I'm going to show you, this is going to show up real clear for you. When you start doing this, if you start doing it today, at the end of the day, before you go to bed, list your 10 successes. If you can only come up with two, you're one of the people that are failing to look at things in your life as successes. You get the wrong perspective because what you're looking at is everything is either something negative or you can't value it as a success. You need to start phrasing things that happen in your life as successes. And that can be as little as getting out of bed. Oh, you know, I set my alarm for 6:30. I got out of bed at 6:35. That's a huge success for some of you. But you don't acknowledge it that way. You like to acknowledge it as some other way. You say, well, Mary Jo, that's just living my life. No, it's not. Because how many people don't get out of bed till 11 in the morning? So isn't that a success for you? So start listing. You got to start living your life around successes in your life. There are a lot of successes. I know you have built, if you live with that I'm not enough attitude, you can't look at anything in your life as a positive because everything is not enough. So be careful of that and start phrasing things in your life as successes. And that's the exercise. Every night before bed, just list 10 successes of the day. Fear kills creativity and imagination. I listed that because it's absolutely true. So if you want, fear will quash your ability to be show initiative and imagination and really grow and creativity. It will die. It quashes it because it's right away casts aspersions and your number three or your subconscious, your number two or your subconscious. Some of you are familiar with number one, number two, number three concepts. But your number two, which is your subconscious, is there and all your subconscious says to you is, okay. That's how it responds. So if you have a fear in your head, I can't do it or I'm not good enough, what's your subconscious saying? Okay, it's believing that. And you're putting that information and storing it in your subconscious. And, you know, and we know the old famous saying, as a man thinketh, so is he. So you put that in it, and you're going to create your own reality that way. The other fear I want to talk about briefly is the fear of you know, fear of rejection, or the fear that comes into us that I need to be liked. I fear that people aren't going to like me. That is huge in network marketing. That's one of the reasons why people don't follow up. They might go and share something with somebody, but they don't follow up because their fear of they're going to reject it. They're going to say no. It's also a reason that stops people down the water from even prospecting, because they think, oh my gosh, if I go and try to talk about that, he's going to think I'm just trying to make money off of him and sell him something, and that's going to destroy our relationship. Oh my goodness gracious. The exact opposite is true. If you go share it with somebody, what you're doing is you're saying, I care about you so much that I want you to take a look at this incredible scientific breakthrough that could help your health and the health of your family. It's a total opposite. But how are you phrasing it in your own head? Get rid of that phraseology. It's all negative. And take the approach as, my goodness, if I really cared about that person, I would be telling them about glycobiology. I wouldn't be denying it. So we got to change that verbiage in our head, what we define our roles as, of our passion and what our roles are. So one of my favorite books out there for people who have this fear is Terry Cole Whitaker's book called What Other People Think of Me Is None of My Business. So go after that and read that book and really get it ingrained in your head so you quit letting other people influence you. You got to be true to your core values. And if your core values is contribution and making a difference in people's lives, then don't let a fear of what they think of you stop you dead in the water, because then you're not true to yourself. Breaking through fears, of course, there's a lot of exercises out there, and he talks about exercise breaking boards, and that you can go to experiential training, self-development seminars help you a lot. You know, these affirmations, drafting success statements, all these things are mechanisms. You can develop habits in your life like drafting the success statements, because those things help, and habits repetitively will replace bad habits. So that's a great way to do it. But again, my favorite in all of this is I'm absolutely going through some good self-development seminars, because experiential training is really what can change you overnight. It's not something that takes repetitive behavior, because when you personally experience some things, it can shock your system in such a way that you can totally change in a very short period of time. And if you're like me, a little bit impatient on the side of things, pray for patience a lot. You want results faster, and that's what self-development seminars can give you. They can really break through some of those barriers faster than repetitive exercises. So anyway, so that's our call. I'm going to get you all back on the line, because I think we have about a minute left. Okay, do I have everybody back? Okay, there you are. Great. Okay, anyone want to talk about any fears or issues that did this strike home to anyone? Uh-huh. Yeah, great. Isn't it fabulous? It is. It's just because you can see how the fear just freezes you, right? It paralyzes people. Yep. Wonderful. Good to hear it. Great work. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. If they have negative mind talk, and you're... Oh, lost them.